Thank you. covenant and faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you'll do just what you say. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart learn. When you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness.
Great is your faith. Yes, I'll still bless you. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of my trial, I'll still bless you. In the middle of the road, when I don't know where to go, I'll still bless you. In the middle of my storm, in the middle of my trial, I'll still bless you. When I'm in the middle of the road and I don't know which way to go,
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. How is everybody today on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning, July 2nd, Independence Month, Independence Week, and Independence Month? It's so great to be here with you guys. If my microphone is a little bit loud, let me know. Did some readjusting today, trying to make sure that the camera's good, the mic is good, everything working just fine. So just let me know in the live chat if you can hear this okay and if you can see this okay, because we're trying to make it look exactly like we did in the other studio with the camera angles and the views and, you know, because I'll be going back up to New Hampshire in about 3 weeks. Actually, less than that now. In about 2 weeks. In about 2 weeks, and I'll be broadcasting from the New Hampshire studio, in studio with Eli again. Rachel says, what do you mean Independence Month? July. This is July. We celebrate 4th of July in July, and that's our independence. And I, now that I am a child of God, now that I died and came back to life on the side of an interstate, I understand Independence Day, for me, is two things. It's my country, right? But then it's also celebrating my independence from the chains and the slavery of evil. Like, it, to me, it means two things. Like, I am so incredibly grateful to be even alive, let alone alive in America. I mean, did we hit the lottery or not? Alive and alive in America? I mean, come on, baby. And we get the grace, mercy, salvation, and the blessings from God. It's like, here, here's not only your independence, but here's some reparations too. I love the scenery today. You look or you sound fine, says Aussie Mom. Well, thank you. Beautiful scene Isn't it, though? Isn't it, though? We're going to take a minute here to look at the scenery here in just a second. But it is beautiful, isn't it? White American month, says Eileen. Independence Day is my anniversary. What a great day to have Independence Day. Mine's Memorial Day. My anniversary is on Memorial Day. So, Jeremy, could Will and Shannon do a Rise Up once a week? They did a good job. I've actually been talking to Will about having a devotional show here every morning. So maybe that'll be in the works. Kong, with the $5 donation, says, good morning to everyone. Wishing everyone love, peace, and happiness. Same to you, my friend. God bless. Grammy Love, good morning, everyone. You are beautiful, Jeremy. You are the one that's beautiful, inside and out. God bless you. I have not read those devotional books, but I will look into it. Don't forget the sunscreen. Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly. Good morning, Barb Naylor. Good morning, Bad Moon is in the building. How are you? Jessica is here. T.D. Hodges is here. Good morning. Good morning to John. Hello, Patty. Good to see you. Lord Fishy and Mad Tess, good morning to you. For such a time as this, amen. Looks and sounds okay to me. Okay, good. Jeremy, please pray for my family. We lost our father last Wednesday. Lokalani, yes, I saw that in the chat, and I do send my prayers to your family. I saw it, actually, and was silently praying during the opening and during the introduction. And it's got to be hard. It's got to be really hard. I've not lost either of my parents yet, but I can imagine the day I do, there'll be a lot of regrets on my part. And I'm trying to make up for that now so that there aren't regrets. My mom is literally coming out here with my sister in September to visit me. So she'll be here with my mom. She'll be with my dad. She'll be here with me. And we can all be back together again. My daughter hopefully will be out here again as well. We're going to try to go back and forth every 45 days or so that we don't lose, you know, that contact. But, you know, with travel, I might have to be driving once in a while, you know, because I can't afford all those plane rides. Jeremy, when are we planning to meet on our field trip? I would assume next summer or next spring, going into summer at the Ark. That's the plan right now. So anyway, folks, today, as we're 16 minutes past the hour, I want to get into prayer because I titled today's show, Been There, Done That. Now, I know a lot of you have probably said that before, been there, done that, right? And we'll get to the description and all that here in just a second. But if you've said that before, it has a very specific meaning, right? Been there, done that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll read the description. We'll get into our verses of the day. Please make sure that you open up your Bibles so that you can see the verse of the day today. Jeremy, would you please say hi to my daughter, Valerie? She's 7 and she keeps asking me to ask. Well, my daughter is also 7, Valerie, and I have a feeling that if you and my daughter were close together, you would probably hang out. You would probably hang out together, and you'd probably use all that Gen Alpha term, like skibbity toilet and no cap at beta and mogging and mewing and all of these new words that I'm learning from my 7-year-old about her generation. But Valerie, God bless you and your mom. Have a great day. I hope you're having a great summer, and I hope God is directing you in your life, even at the age of 7. I wish that I would have known God at 7 years old. That would have been awesome. That would have been so awesome. So Valerie, please join with us in prayer right now. And we'll get to it. Lord and Heavenly Father, today on this beautiful July 2nd, 2024, Independence Month, Independence Week, celebrating our independence from control and ruling of a tyrannical country. We also want to celebrate our independence from being free from the chains of evil and slavery as well. Lord, we remember what it was like being in chains. Lord, we remember what it's like being a slave to sin. We've been there. We've done that. And only through your grace and wisdom were we able to come out of that. Nobody here on earth brought us out of that. Nobody here on earth changed our minds. Nobody here on earth guided our hearts. Lord and Heavenly Father, we were able and given the gift to listen to you through every drop of blood that Jesus shed on that cross. Lord, today we give you grace and we give you glory and we give you honor and thanksgiving for pulling us out of the pit, the mud, the mire, the sin, the hopelessness, the sadness, the despair. Putting a smile on our face every day in the face of any and all adversity. Because we've been there, done that. Lord, I thank you so very much for this time together today. I also ask that you bring relief to those in pain today. If anybody is watching or listening to this live or later who has any kind of spiritual pain or physical pain, Lord, we ask if it is your will to relieve that pain of theirs today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love this hat. How many of you love this hat? Make America pray again. Here's the thing. We don't want to make America pray. We want to guide America to pray again. Amen. And I think that's what we've been doing these last year and a half, 2 years. I mean, literally ever since we started thinking about overturning Roe v. Wade, God did one of these. Okay, then. And ever since God gave us a second glance, gave us a second look, and turned his gaze back towards us, I know you felt it. I know you felt the spiritual shift. And I've been feeling it every day of every month since we even started talking about it. And I said that God would not start blessing this nation again until we took responsibility for what we allowed to happen for a half a century, killing innocent babies. And I felt that change ever since then, not only in myself, but in the direction that the Holy Spirit guides me every day, the church as a whole, the nation as a whole, people starting to be more courageous about speaking about Jesus in public, young men and women out there planting seeds, people prophesying. You've got people like that young kid, Bryce Crawford, who literally is guided by the Holy Spirit so much so that he knows personal things about people's lives. As long as that's going on in this country is never doomed. No matter what evil is brought upon our land, no matter how much temptation that Satan tries to push onto people. Guys, got to remember, Satan is not all-knowing. Satan is not, a lot of people have this misconceived, like, notion that Satan is the opposite of God. He is not. God has no rival. God has no opposite. God has no equal. Satan is nothing. He is a created being, a fallen angel of God, because he was jealous of humanity. And because Satan is not an equal with God, not even close, he's not even close to an equal with Jesus or the Holy Spirit or anything, and he can't know everything. He didn't know Jesus needed to die on a cross in order to beat him once and for all. He knew there was a plan. He tried to get Jesus to reveal that plan when Jesus was tempted in the 40 days in the wilderness. But he didn't know the end all be all because he's not that powerful. And he only has as much power as you give him. You want to know how you know that? Do you want to know how I know that? Because it's right in the title of today's show. I've been there. I've done that. He's not sneaky anymore to me. He doesn't sneak and prowl around without my knowledge anymore. He doesn't have ability to tempt me unless I allow him to tempt me. He has no power. And the only power that he does have is lies and deceit. So we're going to talk about been there, done that today. While you guys are opening up your verses of the day today, I will read my description of this Godcast. Rise Up, episode 379. Been there, done that. I'm sure that you have said that before, right? What does it mean to you when you say it? Think about when you've said, been there, done that. What does it mean when you say it? There is clearly a point that you are trying to make when you say the statement to somebody, been there, done that. But why? Well, today we're going to speak about that from a godly perspective. So please join me in another Godcast about the gospel, not the gossip. Please open up your Bibles today. Somebody said, which verse? You don't have the newsletter then, do you? See, everybody who's asking what verse, if you go to jeremyharrell.com, sign up for the morning newsletter at the bottom of the page called the Revolution Newsletter, you'll get every time I send one out. Now, it may go to a different folder. It may go to a social folder, a promotions folder, or even a junk folder. But all you have to do is type in Live from America, verse of the day, and you'll find it in your search bar. Ellen Berkowski says, I've made that mistake and I don't want to make that mistake again. That's what she means when she says, been there, done that. Redneck says, it's kind of like, hold my beer. Kind of, except hold my beer means that you're about to do something to show them. But when you say, been there, done that, the last thing that you want to do is engage to show. You just want to be like, nope, been there, done that. I want to say good morning to Tim Gustafson and his beautiful, wonderful family today. Guys, Tim has been a great sponsor and a great LFA family member. So please give Tim Gustafson a big shout out today. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. And I'd like to thank M. Magillard for the $5, all aboard the $5 train here on this Tuesday. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Kittenhead said, Jeremy, I was being lazy. I had the newsletter. Okay. I thought you had it. I thought you had it. By the way, anybody notice how much younger I look today? Shaved the beard down to almost nothing. My wife won't let me go to nothing. She says, you don't get a baby face. I said, but I want one. I'm going to be 45 next month. I need to look younger. So I guess exercise and intermittent fasting are going to be part of my immediate future. A lot. I'm starting to get that midlife crisis, you know what I mean? My hairline's going back. My hair back here's balding. It's harder to lose weight, harder to get up. You know, I'm like, ugh. Well, maybe if I shave, I'll look younger and I'll feel better. Thank you, Kittenhead. God bless you. All right, let's go to the verse of the day today and let's read it together, okay? Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 through 7. Living for God. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Should we put this up on, let's put this up on the big screen here. So I like when people can read along with the gospel. I think that's the best way to do it. So let's put that over there. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Whoever suffered in his body is done with sin. I love that. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires. Thank you, Kay Knudsen, for the donation. And thank you all for the kind words telling me that I look okay. You're a baby. I would love to be 45. Oh, thank you very much. Please say more. Tell me more about how young I look. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. I'm not vain in any way. I'm not. Although I did say to my wife when she got home last night, safe, notice anything different about me? She goes, yeah, you shaved off all your beard. I said, well, I was kind of looking for, oh, you look so great. You look so clean and young. Nope. Leave it to the wife. Yeah, you shaved off all your beard. Last week when I told her I was going to shave it completely off, she said, why? And I said, I don't know. I was watching old videos of myself and I looked so young. And I kind of maybe just wanted to get the soul patch back again or maybe just the goatee. And she goes, if you don't care about the way you look, then I guess neither do I. Do what you want. It's like, whoa, hold the horses there. Pretty incredible. All right, let's get back to it. So it says, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. Notice that. Notice what that's saying there. You're not going to live the rest of your life like everybody else anymore once you live for Christ, because your heart will not want those evil human desires any longer. And it says, but rather for the will of God, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. And what is that that pagans choose to do? Well, it says living in debauchery, living in lust, living in drunkenness, orgies, and carousing and detestable idolatry. Here's the kicker, folks. You might not even know you're engaged in that stuff. Let me say that actually a little differently. If you don't know Jesus, it is almost impossible to know that you're engaged in that kind of wickedness. Because the world tells you, well, that's not that bad. Follow your heart. Well, God tells me my heart is wicked. You can do this. You don't need anybody. That's not true. I need God. You're the master of your own universe. No, I'm not. I didn't create myself. It's okay to be proud in your accomplishments. No, it's okay to give all glory to God. See, everything the world tells you is opposite. So unless you know Jesus, then I can promise you, most people don't know that they're living in debauchery and lust and drunkenness and carousing and detestable idolatry. Most people don't even know they're engaged in it. They think what they're doing is not that bad because I help people. Let's bring it back up. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. I told somebody, I had lunch with Chris Green the other day. Chris Green and I spent 3 hours together on Saturday while my family was out of town. 3 hours together. And while we were out having lunch, this was a story I was going to tell yesterday, and I'll continue to tell it after we get through the verse, but I said to him, I said, coming out as a Trump supporter in your family, say that there's a family of lefties, a family of Democrats, and somebody in their family comes out as a Trump supporter, and the rest of the family either completely disowns you, you lose family members, you lose friends, and you can never go to a barbecue or a family event ever again without arguing about it. I said, a lot of people went through that in 2017, 18, 19, 20, and all the way to now. I said, but that is nothing compared to when you come out as a follower of Jesus Christ. And when you come out publicly as a follower of Jesus Christ, everything that you've ever known will be against you. Everything that you've ever known will be against you. It even says, they are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. When I first became a Christian, my friends were like, oh, what, so now you're not going to do that? Nope. Oh, what, so now you're not going to say that? Nope. Oh, so now you're not going to go and watch this concert with us because you don't listen to that music anymore? That's exactly right. So then why should we be friends anymore? Well, that's on you, not me. I love you. I still want to be your friend. I'm just not going to engage in that lifestyle with you anymore. That doesn't mean that I don't love you. But that means that I am now moving further away from what we've always done. And unless you do the same thing, I foresee us not really being friends anymore. That's literally how it goes. Let's bring it back up. We're right here for those who lost the place. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living and heap abuse on you. Let's go to verse 5. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard of the spirit. And now we'll finish off right here. I'll highlight it with verse 7. Let's highlight this here. The end of things, the end of all things, is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Folks, yesterday, as we were waiting through the day for my wife and my son to get home, I was trying to look for something for Lily to do other than watch TV. So we went out for a walk. We went out on the swing set. We did some swinging. We played drive-through. I was driving, pretending I was driving a car up to the window and she was taking my order. We did all that, all the good stuff, right? And then I said, well, what else do you want to do? And she's like, well, I want to play this video game. I said, no, we're not playing video games. Well, I want to watch this thing. Nope, we're not watching that. Well, I want to play this educational game on my tablet. No, we're not doing any screens. Let's figure out something to do. And I looked over at something. It was the Holy Spirit guide me to look over to the bookshelf. And on our bookshelf is a whole bunch of literature concerning Christ and God and Christianity. And there was this card game for kids. It's like a quiz. It's like a knowledge of the Bible quizzing card game. And I looked over there and God said, take this time and study the word of God with her. And I got to be honest with you folks. And I know now looking back on it that it was Satan. But Satan was trying to cloud my mind so I could not worship. Because as I looked over to the bookshelf, something told me, do some devotional with her. And my first thought was, I don't want to get that out and do that. I don't want to get that out and do all that right now. But then the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, what do you mean you don't want to do that? You'd rather do something else than praise your Creator with your 7-year-old? I said, no. So I turned to her and I said, Lily, and this is where I messed up. I gave her a choice. But God gives choices, you know? But a 7-year-old, you're supposed to guide a little differently. And I said, would you like to study the Word of God with me right now? Would you like to play this game? She said, nah, I don't want to do that right now. And I said, okay, well, what would you rather do? I shouldn't have done that. Now, we ended up going to Hobby Lobby and kind of walking around and seeing scripture everywhere anyway. But it wasn't the same. I could have used that opportunity, cleared my mind of any kind of doubt or any kind of laziness, and I could have said, no, honey, we're going to sit down and we're going to spend a half an hour playing this game. I know that if I had gotten it out, she'd have played it just fine. But I didn't do it. And I feel so bad for that. And I repent of that, Lord. So today, I'm going to go home a little early. I'm not going to do a 10-hour day today. I'm only going to do a 9-hour day. And I'm going to go home, and I'm going to pray with my daughter, and I'm going to get the game out, and I'm going to ask anybody else in the house, does anybody want to play with us? Because I missed an opportunity. And it says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. Now, I was sober-minded, but I was not alert. I was alert to the point where I heard the Holy Spirit say, do it. But I chalked it up to, eh. And I repent for that. I've been there, folks. I've done that. Why am I repeating the process of not listening to God? I want to listen to God every second of every day. And yesterday I did not. Can you think of something that the Holy Spirit was guiding you towards yesterday that you did not do? The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I just read that and almost burst into tears. Because my flesh should not be this weak. Is my daughter Shaylin in here? If she is, Shaylin, I love you so very much. I know that you would have played that game with me had I asked. So I'm going to be a better ambassador of the Lord for my family. Starting today, anytime there's idle time and nobody's doing anything, I'm going to interject the Lord. Because what other greater thing is there than that? That is who I have in heaven, and that is who I want on earth. Because it says, do and bring heaven to earth, on earth as it is in heaven. Well, guess what? We are going to be worshiping in heaven, and we're going to want to worship all the time in heaven. So come on, let's bring it here. Let's bring it here. Let's not wait. And let's not waste either. Let's not waste. Let's not wait. Let's not be haste. Let's not be lazy. We've been there, folks. We know what it's like to live in despair. We know what it's like to not listen to God. We know what it's like to ignore Him. We know what it's like to turn our gaze away from Scripture so that we can satisfy our flesh by watching TV or whatever. Why would we want to go back? Okay, here's a good example. You ready? How many of you used to spend a lot of your time in the bar? Eli, myself, Eli's wife, all of our friends, we spent years in the bar and in clubs. Now, we weren't drunkards, but we were drinking, and we were being ungodly, and we were doing karaoke, and we were partying. But I'll bet you if I brought Eli on right now, who's right over there, and I asked him, would you like to go back and do that again? Not only would he look at me like I am crazy, but he'd follow that up with a, how about no? How about never? If you asked me, Jeremy, would you even like to go out and do karaoke even if we don't even get a drink? I would say, no, I don't want anything to do with that. The heck would I want to go to the bar for? Eli's shaking his head. He knows. He knows, right? No bar, right, Eli? Nope. Been there, done that. Here's another thing. Sleeping around. Let's say I wasn't married right now, which I am very happily married, by the way. I will FaceTime with Shay. I will. Shay and I are going to be doing a lot. Shay and I's favorite thing is chess. So Shay and I will be playing a lot of digital chess together while she's out there. I taught Shaylin everything she knows about chess, and now she beats the brakes off of me every time we play. But let's say I wasn't married right now, and I was single. Guess what I would have no desire doing? Sleeping around, having sex with a different person every day. Even if I wasn't godly, I have no interest in doing that anymore. Why? Been there, done that. So if we think about all the times that we've said, been there, done that, when you say been there, done that, you mean I don't want anything to do with that anymore. You never say it as, I've been there, done that, can't wait to go do it again. No, you say been there, done that because you've been through that experience. You've gained the wisdom from that experience. And that wisdom that God gave you, whether you believe in Him or not, says, I don't want to go back to do that again. I've been there, done that. If somebody said, hey, would you like to go to jail? I'd say, nope, been there, done that. Hey, would you like to go back to that dead-end job where everybody treated you like crap and you made almost zero money and scrounged every second of every day just to go to work? Nope, been there, done that. Here's another one. Would you like to go back to the job in which there was no cap in how much you made and you were making well into the six figures? Guess what I would say? Nope, been there, done that. It's a reference to, I don't want to do it again. So why would we want to have lust? Why would we want to be drunkards? Why would we want to be angry? Why would we want to fight with everybody all the time? Why would we need to be the center of attention? Why would we need to go out and have sex with everybody? Why would we need to be the ones that are right? Why would we need to have any of these bad qualities? Why would we want to be lonely? Why would we want to be in despair? Why would we want to be in depression? Why would we want to be stuck in the middle of addiction? You wouldn't, because you've been there and you've done that. Guess where you haven't been? You've not been hand in hand with Jesus, sitting in front of and worshiping and standing next to the throne of God. You've not been there. And if you have been there, you don't remember it because it was before you were given an earthly body. So guess what we can't say about heaven? Been there, done that. So let's go get it. Let's not get got by the devil. Let's go get more of Jesus. Think about it. Come on, folks. It's not a joke. Right, though? If we've been somewhere and we don't want to go back, it's very easy not to. We just don't. Yesterday, I did, and I feel terrible for it. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to squander that opportunity ever again. God is more important than anything else, even my desire in my flesh to not do anything. What I can say about heaven is, that's where I want to go. Now, you may say, well, I've seen heaven. Well, you may have seen heaven in visions. You may have seen heaven in dreams. God may have revealed heaven for you. But long story short, folks, your soul, your spirit is within your body right here. Now, do we have a connection with God in heaven? Of course we do. Do we have a connection with our heavenly realm? Of course we do. But we're not physically there, folks. And God promises us we will have physical bodies again. And I want to go there. I've not been there. I've not done that. That's what I want to go do. So in order for me to get there and do that and go get, not get got, I need a relationship with my Father in heaven. Now, remember that video I showed you the other day where Jesus was waiting for that guy for lunch or for breakfast and he never showed up? And then he was waiting for him for lunch and he never showed up. And then he was waiting for him for dinner and he finally showed up just to tell him, oh, can I have this, and this? Thanks, God. I'll see you tomorrow. And he just left Jesus sitting there. Remember that cartoon depiction I showed you last week? I don't want to be that guy. I don't. And like with the move and the transition from New Hampshire to Iowa, like we haven't even started church yet again. But we are Monday. Now, I want to tell you this story, the rest of the story with Chris Green, and then we'll go in and show you a video for today. So, Saturday, Chris Green and I spent a few hours together. Really great. Great guy. Great brother in Christ. Love the guy. And while we're out, we're eating lunch, and I ask him, how old are you? He said, 46. I said, well, I'm going to be 45. And when I said that, I don't remember what I followed that up with, but it was only like, if Chris, you're watching, it was what, 15 seconds afterwards that I asked you your age and I told you my age? And I was just like looking around because I have this habit of making sure nobody's going to be stabbing me or something. I have this like habit of making sure that nobody's around me, too close to me or anything. And I look over. I'm not paranoid or anything like that. I'm just, it's a habit. And I just, my gaze turns over and there's this woman, Ellen, sitting there staring at me. She's probably watching right now. And she's looking at me like this. And I'm thinking, oh, did she think I was older than I said that I was or something? So I said to her, did I say something wrong or something? And she goes, you're Jeremy Harrell. And I said, yeah. So immediately I knew she watched the show. And I said, yeah. And she goes, oh, and she's kind of like, she just got done working out and she was all apologetic because she was sweaty. Like, I'm not sweaty. I mean, look at me. I mean, I'm the epitome of sweaty. Anyway, she's like sitting there and she's like, I just can't believe this right now. I knew you were moving to the Quad Cities. I didn't think I'd ever see you. I was hoping that one day I might be able to run into you somewhere, but what are the odds of running into you somewhere? She wasn't even going to come to that place that day. She was going to go through the drive-thru. She wasn't going to come in. Something made her come in, and she's sitting there while Chris and I are eating, and she is a fan of the show all the way back to Here We Go days. KC22, I used to work with Ellen. Oh, I heard. I heard, KC. So I give her my number, and she's like, you're just going to give me your phone number? And I said, yeah, you are my family. I look at you guys like family. And she goes, well, aren't you worried that, you know, you do that, you could get some crazy person? I said, we've had death threats. We've had people try to kill us. We've had people say they're going to kill our kids. We've had people loosen the lug nuts on our tires of all of our vehicles to try to kill us. Yeah. I've been there, done that. I'm not that kind of guy. I got the Lord's favor. I got the armor of God, and I'm not worried about that. Here's my number. Small world, right? And then I said, you'd be surprised how often this happens, by the way. Usually everywhere we go, me and Eli, or if we're going to an event or something like that, somebody somewhere knows the show. And I think that's pretty cool. And it allows me to be able to interact with somebody who I only see on here, and it's really nice. And guess what? We sat and chatted with her for an hour, too, because that's just how I am. Now, I felt bad that I encroached on Chris's time together with me and him, but it was a divine appointment. It was three God-fearing people all having a conversation together, and I love that. I absolutely love that. We are family, and we're always going to be. So I'd like to play a video for you now, now that I told you that story. And I'm sure Chris and I will be doing a lot more together, by the way. I don't know if he's in the chat or not, but Chris, if you are in the chat, God bless you and Julie. And thank you for showing me your facility and all that. It was really cool. Really, really enjoyed it. So earlier I said Satan doesn't know everything. Satan is not all-knowing, right? Check this out. I actually had more videos to show you today, but, you know, I was talking about been there, done that. Watch this video. I just saved it. It has really not much to do with what we're talking about today, but I think you'll like it. Check it out.
This has to be the craziest connection I found in the Bible, and it's not even close. Satan brings Jesus up to the high mountain. He tempts him by telling Jesus to throw himself off because angels are going to catch him. Satan quoted Psalm 91, but like all times Satan quotes scripture, he quoted it out of context. But that's not even the amazing connection. It's this. Satan is not all-knowing. He knew who Jesus was and why he was there, to bring in the kingdom of God. But what he doesn't know is what the plan is. He's tempting Jesus and fishing for information at the same time. Satan tells him to jump. Let's say Jesus does jump off and the angels catch him. What does Satan learn here? If Jesus does throw himself off and angels save him, then Satan concludes that the Messiah cannot die and he will remove killing him as an option. But that's exactly what needs to happen. Jesus knows that. He needs to die. So Jesus not only doesn't fall for the temptations, but he disallows the enemy from learning anything about the real plan. And Paul seems to confirm this idea by saying, "None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Satan is playing checkers, and Jesus is playing 4D chess. If you want to learn how to read the Bible in context, comment Bible, and I'll send over a free Bible study guide.
I loved that. I absolutely loved that. Now, I have a few minutes left, and I want to play this. You guys know that now there's three states that are putting the Ten Commandments back in school, and there's also states that are going to be learning the Bible in school again, folks. I believe it's Oklahoma. We have Oklahoma. We have Louisiana. We have Tennessee that's calling for 30 days of intermittent fasting and prayer in-house resolutions. Ladies and gentlemen, God is on the move, and man, do I get excited for it. Let's watch a little bit of this. We're not going to be able to watch all of it, but I wanted to play a little bit of it for you. Go ahead and roll it.
They plan to sue Louisiana
over its new law requiring the Ten Commandments be displayed in public schools.
The ACLU did us a great favor by giving the Ten Commandments publicity you cannot buy. They were headlined from Newsweek to Time Magazine, USA Today to the New York Times, CBS, Fox, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, and all over social media.
We turn now to that new Louisiana law requiring the Ten Commandments to be displayed
in every public school classroom.
Critics of a new law say that in Louisiana schools, the line between church and state is getting blurred.
It will require a poster-sized display of the religious directives in large, easily readable font.
Louisiana has become the first state to order that every public school classroom display a poster of the Ten Commandments.
One of the dumbest waste of time I've ever seen in my life.
But at least now we're into a zone of like, okay, these make sense.
Sure.
This nation has gotten out of hand with crime. Why is it so preposterous that we would want our students to have some good principles instilled in them?
It is now the law in Louisiana to display the Ten Commandments in every single public school classroom from kindergarten to college.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the best thing we could have ever done. And this is continuation of God is on the move. God is on the move. Hallelujah. I mean, come on with it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want more of this. I want more of this in our schools. I want more of this in our lives. I think we need to be giving people both options. When you go through the Creation Museum, Ken Ham's Creation Museum over by the Ark, they give you both sides. You walk through and you see the science side and you see the spiritual side. And at the end, you get to make your best calculated decision as to which one you think is real. And when you go through it, even being unbiased, there is no way. There is no way that you'd believe the science part of it. If they gave people a choice in school, there's no way people would believe the science part of it. And that's been the great lie. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been there, done that, then walk away from it and don't ever look back. Do not turn to a pillar of salt. Trust in God, trust in Jesus, trust in their plans for you. Trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit each second of every day and never do what I did yesterday and ignore it, because I don't know what opportunity I lost because of that. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Crispy and Unafraid starts right now, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. I love you, and Jesus loves you too. God bless you, and thank you for being here every day. Have a great morning. See you later.